As we continue this morning, I would just want to pray with you. Just calm our hearts, calm our minds, focus on what God is going to say to us today. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that in a time like this, we can use the media that are available to us to come together and be the church together and gather in this moment in order to hear from you. Thank you for the many ways in which you have brought us through this past week. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you that you have been faithful. Thank you that you have been our shepherd who has led us wherever we needed to go. And today we want to look forward again to this opportunity to share something that we need to hear that will strengthen us for this coming week. We pray for our speaker today that you will just be with him and let him experience how you will use him in a very unique way to speak to us your word. Thank you for this good opportunity. Thank you that we can focus on you and that you are here with us in our living rooms or wherever we watch you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have a guest speaker who will speak to us. It is Ken Wiedrich. He is the outgoing Executive Director of Ministry Services for the Canadian Church of God Ministries. Whoa, this is a mouthful. And as I was phrasing this sentence, it hit me that the word outgoing has two meanings, at least. Outgoing can be understood as leaving, and that is true for Ken. He is on his way to retirement. He has led our tribe for the past, I would say, at least 15 years, and has been our shepherd to the churches here in Western Canada. Outgoing also in terms of character. I have had the privilege of journeying with Ken for, I would say, at least over 25 years that we know each other, and I have experienced Ken in a very personable way as an outgoing, approachable, open resource, an excellent coach, a wise counselor, and a good pastor to us. Ken is married to Teresa. They have three grown children and actually grandchildren. And Ken, we are looking forward to you and how God will minister to us this morning. Ken will join us from Camrose, where he is at home. Let us pray for him and let us join him as he is sharing with us what God has shared with him for us this morning. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Egbert. And welcome, Grace Point family. It is good to be able to bring this word to you this morning. What has been your experience in a waiting room? We encounter a number of waiting rooms in our lives, and hopefully the waiting room that you encountered to come to this meeting was pleasant. Undoubtedly, the persons listening to my voice have spent time waiting for an airplane. Others of us have spent time waiting in a dentist office or a doctor's office. Recently, I spent time in a dyno lab waiting room waiting to get my blood drawn for my yearly physical exam that my doctor had ordered for me. Now, I don't particularly like getting my blood drawn. However, I have found that if I prepare for the waiting room, it goes a little better. I am sure to dress a little warmer because I notice my hands grow cold in the waiting room. I always take a water bottle with me, for it makes it easier for the nurse to find my veins. And I've been known to pack some orange juice in the car as a treat when it's all over. In my previous visit to the dyno lab, I drew a new nurse. He was just learning the trade. He was a huge man, much larger than I, but he clearly had trouble finding the small veins in my arm. After three unsuccessful tries, he called over a seasoned nurse who hit the bullseye in one try. I left the lab that day with tape in four different places on my arm and hand, hoping I would never go through that experience. So, as you might imagine, in my most recent visit to the lab, you know what was going through my mind. I'm praying that I get a good nurse. We are in the fifth week of Lent in preparation for Easter. The key word for this week is waiting. During Lent, we wait for Christ's resurrection. We wait for Christ to break out of the tomb and declare himself to be the Son of God. We wait for our freedom from our fast. In Psalms 130, David encourages us to wait on God. Let me read this passage of scripture for us this morning. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive and my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. More than a watchman waits for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. In Psalms 130, David encourages us to wait on the Lord. In the New Living Translation, verse 5 reads, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. There are times in our lives when it feels like God is on the edge of doing a new thing in our midst, and we can't wait to experience it. And then there are other times in our lives when we experience God on his own timetable. He just seems to be taking his time. We have an occasion in Scripture when this is graphically displayed in the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus is across the Jordan River from Bethany, revisiting the place of his baptism. He's making one last visit to the place where his heavenly Father had made the pronouncement over him, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, before going to Jerusalem, where he will be killed. While visiting this nostalgic place, a messenger arrives telling him that his good friend Lazarus is sick. Jesus has to make a decision. Does he stay a little bit longer at his retreat, or does he leave immediately and respond to the need? As we look at these two passages of Scripture, Psalms 130 and John 11, I would like to suggest at least two purposes of waiting in our lives, purposes that God uses to refine us to be more like him. The first purpose is waiting reveals the irritants in our life. Waiting reveals the irritants in our life. Have you noticed when you're in a waiting room, you become more attentive to your surroundings? The music in the background all of a sudden becomes either a soothing salve or an irritant. Even the silence in the waiting room can become an irritant. Why is it so quiet in here? They need to have some music to calm people's nerves. In the waiting room, you become more attentive to the time that is passing. If time goes beyond our expectations, you become annoyed. Recently, a staff member shared with me they were in the emergency room at the local hospital and were waiting for people who had come in after them and were being treated by the hospital staff because their cases were more severe. But it became an annoyance because while they're in the waiting room, they were expecting to get waited on. Another irritant in the waiting room is a loss of control of our circumstances. I shared with you my anxiety of not knowing what nurse I would get to draw my blood. In the waiting room, we have a lot of time to think about what could go wrong in our pending situation or pending operation, or how bad the news will be when the doctor finally arrives. The children of Israel were irritated with God in the wilderness. They were irritated that they were in a foreign country. They were irritated when they finally left their foreign country and ended up in the wilderness with no water. Where is God in all this, they asked. This is our question too. Where is God in the waiting? This must have been the question for Mary and Martha as well. Jesus was a personal friend of the family. He ate at their table often. The scripture underlines the fact that he loved them. And so when Lazarus contracted a fever and was not doing well, they did the only thing they knew to do. They called their friend Jesus. Mary and Martha would have been aware that a price had been placed on Jesus' head. They would have been aware of how much inconvenience this would have caused Jesus. Yet because of the relationship they had with him and because he was a family friend, they called on him. Mary and Martha had the same question we do. Where is Jesus? Why isn't he here? If he really loved us, he would be here and do something. Perhaps one of the purposes of waiting on God is to reveal the distractions in our life. It is the distractions in our life that takes our attention away from Jesus. What tends to distract your focus away from God? What has your attention in this crisis? What is keeping you from trusting God more fully? What has replaced God in your life? The second purpose of waiting is that waiting reveals what has our attention. In Psalms 130, David makes a declaration. He declares that God is a forgiving God. He is a God that keeps no record of wrongs. David declares that God is someone you can count on. You can count on him to do what he says he will do. And David declares that his hope is in God. You know, waiting is easier when you know you can trust the person you're waiting on. Have you ever had the experience where you're waiting on someone, but you don't really know them very well, and you're not sure how trustworthy they are? I remember flying into the Edmonton airport a year or so ago, and rather than paying for the parking, I decided to hire a courier from Camrose to pick me up at the airport. He was cheaper than paying the parking that the several days my car would be there. And when I landed and texted him and waited and waited and waited for him to come, I began to wonder if he was trustworthy. That was not the case for David. His hope was in God. He knew that God could be trusted. He made the waiting easier. When Mary and Martha sent for Jesus, they were focused on Lazarus getting better. They wanted Jesus to alleviate his fever. They wanted Jesus to alleviate his pain. John, the author of the gospel, strategically positions a story right in the middle of the book. John is communicating to the reader, everything in this book leads up to this story, and everything after this story substantiates the fact that Jesus has power over death. He is the resurrection and the life. We, like Mary and Martha, often rush to the good, but God waits for the great. We want immediate resolution to our waiting or our interruptions in life, but God waits to reveal to us who he really is. I wonder, what do you want God to do in this interruption of life we call C-19? I wonder what God is up to. What does he want to reveal to us about who he is? When you approach an interruption in this way, you ask different questions. You ask God, what does he want to reveal to you in this crisis? Who are you, God, in this crisis? What have I missed about you? In the waiting room, it's important to declare what has your attention. David declared that God was his hope, his full redemption. God would redeem Israel. Jesus, in his conversation with Mary Martha, asked them to declare what had their attention. He states, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the critical question. What has your attention in this present crisis? Perhaps one of the purposes of waiting is to reveal what you believe in, what you are trusting in. We've noticed that the waiting room reveals the irritants in our life. We have noticed that the waiting room raises questions that often have no immediate answer. This was Mary and Martha's experience. Mary and Martha dealt with their questions differently. They probably represent similar ways in which we deal with the questions we have for Jesus. Martha's question was, Jesus, why didn't you come when we called you? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Mary had questions too. John inserts an interesting detail in the story. He says, when Mary and Martha heard that Jesus was coming, Martha ran to him, but Mary stayed home. We are not told why Mary stayed home. Perhaps she was grieving. Perhaps she was angry with Jesus because he didn't come when she asked him to. She doesn't verbalize her questions. Instead, she runs to Jesus and drops at his feet and worships. I don't know what questions you have of Jesus during this time. There's nothing wrong with having questions, but I encourage you to take your questions to Jesus. Don't let your questions separate you from Jesus. Verbalize your questions to Jesus if you can. Run to Jesus and fall at his feet if you can't verbalize your. And if you need a place to verbalize or just to talk to someone about the questions you have, I encourage you to email pastors@gracepointchurchofgod.ca. Thank you for listening, and God bless you in your waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We are so glad we can place our hope in you. We are so thankful that you are enough. We are so thankful we can count on you. And we, like David, declare today, you are our hope. You are our salvation. You are our redemption. You are our strength. You are our refuge. And it is in you that we put our trust. And it's in your son's name that we pray.
Thank you, Ken, for sharing with us how to be in the waiting room. And you have seen the invitation. If you have any questions, I would like to invite you again to contact us. And we are trying to be there for you as much as we can. And I hope this time was meaningful to you. I hope and pray that you will have a good day today with your families together, wherever you are, and that you also have a good week, and that you will experience God in a very new way as you may sit symbolically in a waiting room. Have a good Sunday, and God bless.